a saving, he keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to that wonderful name. For to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Let's all stand. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. How about victory in Jesus tonight? Amen? That's what we have, right? Number 22. Heard an old story.
I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my blood is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing of you, amen, his precious blood revealing. How he made the lame to walk again, and he calls the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus brought to me the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And of the end I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeemed.
plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Brother Mark, can you come and sing? You may be seated. Wings of a snow white dove. Amen. 41 if you need a spiral boat. Noah had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for land. Troubles he has some, but not from above. God gave him his son on the wings of a dove, on the wings of sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Jesus, my Savior, came to earth one day.
Love, a sign from above.
let's all stand as we sing number 228 here. Jesus, hold my hand this evening. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This will be my prayer, dear Lord, each day that I can do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption songs someday. I will be as good and brave and true and ever firmly stand. As I onward go and daily meet, oh, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Jesus, my see Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim and with the setting of the sun, lead me safely to the land of rest, of the crown of life have won. I will put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I may depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour.
Desire. We know what he'll do, what we desire him to do. He'll take care of everyone. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Are you ready for the word?
Amen.
So just remember, Wade will be leaving out in the morning and heading out to the Philippines. So remember to pray that the Lord would take care of him, what the time he's there, and give him a safe journey and everything. Be all right. Let's just sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, as Wade comes to minister the word of the Lord unto us tonight. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes fellowship of my heart.
Not this coming Saturday, but the next. 16th, I think it is. Brother Homer in Alabama. Remember that.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining.
Close your eyes. You think you're in a symphony. Good job. Give them a good hand. Give them a good hand. Good hand. All of them. Everybody all the way around. All the way around. Even Brother Donnie. Bless his heart. You need a little time to get back to your seat. Okay. Good to see everybody tonight. Wednesday night. Middle of the week. Getting ready to get out of here. And I told Juna, I didn't know I was going to preach, so I'd already packed my Bible, so I could pick this Bible up. This is the Bible that Brother Jess Trammell gave me, and it's a hardbound Scofield. I've never seen one before. But you know what I flipped to? The last time I used this Bible, I was going to the Philippines in 2014 or 15. And that's the last time I used this Bible. I had my note sitting right here to pray for me going to the Philippines. So... And I don't know what in the world this says about a cat with rabies. I don't know where that come from, but somebody's cat had rabies, I guess. I don't know, but good to be in the house of the Lord. Remember, time changes Saturday night. Spring forward. If you don't, you'll be late for church. You'll walk in about time Brother Dale's quit finishing, so... And for some, that's not so bad, not so unnormal. Fellowship meeting, March 16th at Brother Homer Lagore's. I know they've done, went through this, but I want to go through it one more time. April the 13th, our spring fling down at City Park in Gillsville, April 13th. Be our normal times and our normal things that we do. Remember, the April the 20th will be Easter weekend, and myself and I think Brother Bob and his family is going to Mobile to be with Brother Matthew Bray that weekend. And... just keep sending your prayers. Also, we leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, so pray for me and Sister June getting up early and getting down there because I have to fly out at 8 o'clock. So we're going to try to get up about 4 and take off down there. So they're working on the South Terminal, so they said give yourself a little more time. So we're going to give ourselves a little more time. And then we'll be flying to Seattle and then to Seoul, South Korea. And then at 9:45 Friday night, we'll be in the Philippines. So just keep sending your prayers. Thank you all for your prayers. And for your monetary support, it will be used for the glory of the Lord. And all things will be taken care of. So, Lord bless you. Thank you for everything. All right, let's go. Sixth seal. We're going to talk about persecution. We're going to go to Revelation 6 again. And I want us to, we're going to kind of personalize a little bit. Because this seal... And we'll speak on it in just a few minutes. But I want you to just kind of file it in the back of your mind. Do you know what this seal is? This is the change seal. Now, we took a change in the fourth seal and went in rapture. We know that. But underneath that is that thunder that we're looking for, because in the sixth seal, remember, you lap it back under. We got the sixth seal has to break to us, and that sixth seal that breaks to us is our body change. So this is to me, this is important. This is your body change. Now, it's changed the world, and it's changed things. It's changed nature. It's changed 144,000. It changed a lot of things we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. But it's going to change us. But before it changes us, we're going to have to go through a little bit of persecution. All right, so the Bible tells us that all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. All right, so, but we're going to add a little bit to that. Not to add to the word, but we're going to kind of expound on that a little bit. So let's read Revelation 6, verse 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for giving us an opportunity to come in the middle of the week and to talk about you, Father. We know that Satan hates us, the demons hate us, but you love us. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. There's not a thing can stand before you, Lord. You're the King. You're our husband. You're our lover. Lord, you did all the things for this bride. You protected us, Lord. Now I pray that you would just let this word soak down inside of us, Lord, and let it be lived. The prophet of God told us that the thunder of God would be thousands of lived voices. That's the best thunder you can have, is to not just be able to speak the word, but to live it. And Lord, we pray that you'd just help us to do that, Lord. Even though if we have to go through persecution, so be it for us to get out of here, because this world at this point is not our home. Father, just be with each one of us. Be with the sick. Be with the ones that are not here, Lord. Be with the ones that are having problems in their life. We pray that you would just, you're the Prince of Peace. That's what you said. You said, lay all your burdens on me. So I'm going to lay all my burdens on you, Lord, because you told us to. And clear my mind and clear my heart from this building all the way back for my flight tomorrow to leave out and to go over there and try to tell the people a little more about you, Lord. I'm taking this church with me, Lord. I'm taking, Lord, all the people that are here that support this church operation and all the other support that they give us in prayers and the things, Lord of life, that you have given us. We're just one big family, Lord. Now, I pray, Lord, that this family will bind together and pray that everything will go well for your honor and glory, not for us, but for you, Father. Bless us and take care of us. Be with my wife, Lord, if she'll be a couple of weeks there being off without me, Lord. I pray that you'd just take care of her and keep her safe. Be with the home. Keep all of us safe, Lord. Bless your missionaries that are on the foreign field, Lord. As we know, Brother Quinn and several ones have already been to the Philippines and done a work, Lord. We pray that we just come right in behind them, Lord, and just lift the people up also. Father, just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid himself in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You may be seated. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. Brother Donnie, reach over and cut the fan on, please. It's kind of stuffy up here. A little bit hot, but thank the Lord for the reading of the word. And we've come into this sixth seal now. We know that it's a tribulation seal. It's a tribulation period. But I was thinking today, there in Revelation 6, or in Revelation 4, when the bride goes up in the rapture, when it says after, let Aaron handle it. Let the maintenance director take over. Put your safety glasses on. Hard hat, safety glasses. Okay. Tilt-toe shoes. Anyway, but I was thinking about this, and when Revelations 4:1 says, after these things, we go up. So after the church ages, we go up in Revelations 4:1. We're not seen to Revelations 19. Now, that is true, has to be, because we're not here on this physical earth during that time of 5 through six, seven, eight, nine. It's like a brother sent a message online, and God bless you, brother, if you're watching in tonight. I made a statement that the woes was the Second World War, but in the chronological order of the Scripture, it looks like hadn't happened yet. But you have to remember, when you talk about Scripture and prophecy, it's broad, and it is spiritual. But it also, that woe, Brother Brown said, the three woes are the three world wars. So you can't get away from that. First woe was the First World War. Second woe was the Second World War. And the third woe is going to be the one coming, which will be the Third World War, the war that will end all wars that we know of on the face of the earth. But you have to look and see that, though, in chronological order, sometimes it doesn't look right, but it took a prophet to pull those pieces out and put them together so that we can understand what the Bible says. Because we wouldn't even know what a woe was if it wasn't been for the prophet. Amen. I mean, people have presumed and all these different things, but when Brother Brown said the three woes was the three wars, to me, it just made it plain. It just made it plain what the woes were and how that they held that first woe, because that was a war to end all wars, World War I. Like Brother Dale's talking about it, nobody knows why it ended on November the 11th at the 11th. Nobody knows that. Well, the angel did. Brother Branham knew what was going on. He knew that angel stopped that war because they were getting ready to come out with a mustard gas. If you'll read all that, World War I was a horrible war because there was no, and I know all war is horrible, but World War II, they kind of had a little bit of contract between, well, we're not going to use this great big thing or this. But World War I, there was no contract. They were just getting ready to unleash everything on the people, because there was no United Nations. There was no control of any other country. So it was going to be probably the war that would break out. Now, they didn't have nuclear at the time, but they could have destroyed a lot of places. But what I'm saying is, all this, though, Revelation 6, when that sixth seal opens, we know we're not here. But that sixth seal opens because of you and me. You say, no, it's the two prophets. I know that. But the two prophets are mute until we leave this place.
Right.
The two prophets are not even anointed at this moment to do anything until the blindness is lifted off of the Jew. And it's always going to be there until we leave.
Exactly.
So this is all going to happen because of me and you, because of the bride of Jesus Christ. That's how important it is for us to get these things, get them right, and get out of here.
Right.
Get out of the way and let God do what he's going to do, all right? But this is going to take, though, a little bit of persecution. It's going to take, think back even when we were talking about the fourth seal. It's obvious. And if you haven't had a nature change, you're not born again.
Right.
You must know that your old nature is not just hid, it's dead.
Right.
You don't have that nature anymore. If you still have that same nature, now sure, listen, folks, don't kid yourself. It's like Brother Dale said, once he got born again, he never drank a beer in his life. Hated beer, but see somebody drinking a beer, and, you know, you look over and you go, man. You know, I mean, why? It's in your brain, though.
Right.
It's not in your heart.
Right.
There's no way you'd walk over there and do it. Now,
right.
the one that was there that made you do it to start with, he's dead.
Right. Right.
But he can still play in that. In that memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, he can play in that realm. But what happens, remember, he played in that realm when we were growing up and going through the things. But what happened was when we, Brother Luis, let's have a party tonight. Brother Luis said, all right, I got the drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it was. You just went and did it. Why? Because there was the nature in there to do it.
Right.
But see, that nature's gone now. There's no way you would do that.
Right.
There's no way you would pick that up anymore. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not bothered with them. But in this sixth seal purging, you and I are going to have to come to a sixth seal purging of that middle man to know that that middle man, that memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination, is just what it is.
Right.
Memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination.
Right.
Contrary to God, still contrary to God.
Yeah. Right.
But what's inside of the inside of that person There's the real you, the nature that it's not even you anymore, it's God. But let God work out to destroy those little ites, you might say. I've been reading back through Numbers and Deuteronomy and all that. Man, you get into that land and there's the Hittites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all these other ites that Joshua had to deal with. It wasn't just Joshua walked in and said, fall dead. No, he had to fight. But you know what? Rahab made an outstanding statement. She must have heard among the community that the community said, we were whipped when y'all crossed the Jordan. In other words, we might have had some spies looking around. We had the satellite up, and the image showed us the sea just opened up, and y'all walked right across. Didn't even get your feet muddy. And she said, we were whipped when y'all did that. But now, did Joshua and them know it? No, they didn't know it. They had to still walk around Jericho. In other words, what am I saying? You still got to live your life. You still got to listen to the preacher. You still got to go around your Jericho. And then not take a bomb and blow it away. Speak to it. That's what we got to come now into speaking condition in this sixth seal. Because if you're going to have persecution, I say if, you're asking if, not me. The persecution... And I'll read you some quotes, and I don't know if Brother Joe's here or not, but I thank God he sent me a bunch of quotes, and I had forgot that he'd sent them to me, about persecution, what Brother Brown said, and we're going to read them. They're in the very back side of your paper there that I gave you, and it'll be some quotes that Brother Brown said, thus saith the Lord. Yeah. There's going to be a boycott. It's going to be a troubling time, but, everybody's on to this third pull business, which is okay. But everybody's got the third pull being, you know, Brother Brown coming back and tents and blah, blah, all that stuff. Brother Brown said the third pull is the opening of the word. The third pull is now laying dormant, the prophet said. We're going to read it. It's right there in front of you. It's laying dormant. We don't need it right now. In that aspect, we need the opening of the word. But we don't need a pork chop on our plate. We don't need God to fill the gas up. Now, they do in other countries, like we were talking before. In other countries, and let me just be real. Some of you that's been to other countries, they have more faith than we do. They just have a faith that, like Brother Reed told Brother Dale, said, Brother Dale, we don't have a CVS on every corner. If our kids have a toothache, we may have a little remedy that we give them, an herb or something. But we don't have a CVS to run and get the Ambisol or whatever it is that we just readily probably still have in our cabinet right now. They don't have that. So they have to have a certain degree of faith. The brothers in the, where Brother Luis were, they had to have a certain amount of faith. Just to buy oil. They couldn't buy oil to go in the, so God supplied them the oil. God supplied them the oil, okay? He'll supply your needs. Now, he didn't supply the oil in a brand new car. Right. He put the oil in the old car. Right. But the old truck got you there, didn't it? I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. Right. You see what I'm saying with us, you and I, it's not going to be, I don't believe it's going to be everything we thought it is, but it's going to be some things that we need to be prepared for just in case. We don't need to be, I mean, you know, you can be a prepper if you want to. We put up stuff and you can put up a little bit if you want to and that's okay. But there's going to, look at all now. Now, when we did that back in the 70s, look what happened. There was no line of communication like cell phones. Listen, I know why the cell phone come into being. You can't hide nothing. And everybody has a cell phone. Everybody. How many times have you lost your cell phone? You get a sicker feeling than if somebody would have stole your car out in the parking lot. Right? Amen? You go. And you go to digging, and you don't care what else happens. You got to find that phone. Well, you know what that phone is, right? It's a GPS. It has a receiver. My scanner that I use for my postal service job, it tells me exactly if I put the package on the porch or if I deliver it into their box. It's within 3 or 4 feet accuracy. And they can tell me how many times I backed up. And if I sit still for 10 minutes, it sends an alarm, to the post office that I haven't moved in 10 minutes. So if I stop and talk to some of my beekeeping friends, I'm over doing the scanner like this. I'm taking my lunch break. They just happened to be on my route. I'm sorry. But anyway, but that's the truth. But you see, but what I'm saying is now, all the things that we thought we could do and do the, you know, do the sniper thing, wear the ghillie suit, you know, and hide so nobody find us. If you got any kind of electronics on you, Bob, hold your watch up. Oh, the government just knew that he raised his hand. Yeah. It's in our watches now. iPhone. You said, well, that's silly. I'm going to get rid of mine. No, they'll know. What I'm saying is they're going to know where you are. They already know where we are. They already know what we're, what we stand for. Right. It's just one day they're going to come in and say, you can't do that anymore. You just can't do that anymore unless you sign this paper right here. And I'll read where Brother Brown said that some people will sign the paper and go right in. Why? Because they think, you know what? They think, well, to keep my doors open and to keep my congregation coming in and to keep getting my tithe, no, to keep everything going, I'm going to sign this paper. It won't hurt anything. Now, that's what Brother Brown said they'll do.
Right.
Thinking that they can serve God underneath that, but they're not going to be able to do that. And a real true son and daughter of God won't do it anyway. We cannot yield to that. That's where the persecution's going to be, but don't worry about it. They know everything about us. Man, just look. Everybody knows everything about everything all the time. So who we got to depend on now? We need to depend on God alone. Because Luis was talking about it Wednesday night. You know, Eleazar and Elisha. Elisha's like, open my servant's eyes. But what did Elisha do? Elisha walked into the camp of the people that were trying to find him and said, who are you looking for?
Yeah.
Right? Who are you looking for? Well, we're looking for Mark Axelrod. And it's him standing there.
Right.
We're looking for Elisha. God had changed their eyesight.
Right.
And that's what he's going to do, but you and I are going to have to depend on God to do that because Elisha didn't depend on himself. He just walked right in and depended on God to change their eyesight. Because remember, he changed it so much that Elisha, I think he went and got all the good guys and brought them into the camp, or he either took the bad guys into the good camp, and God opened their eyes and they just laid their weapons down. What? They walked right into, I mean, my heavens, you're walking into a camp of your enemy. Same way with you and I, same way with Jesus and Paul and all those that Jesus, you know, they were getting ready to stone him and throw him off a cliff. And the Bible says he what? He disappeared. Now, he didn't disappear. He was still there. God just changed their eyesight so that he could walk right down through the crowd and they go, oh, that's Joe. That's Joe. That's John. Yeah, just let him go. See, same way with you and I. But you and I, our dependency then has got to be on God to do that. Not Brother Dale, not me, not William Branham. He's not here. We got to depend on God. God's the one that's going to take us out of this. Do not put your dependency on a man except that one right there. Because if you put your dependency on that man, you'll never fail. Amen? So the sixth seal then, let's look at number one is a tribulation seal. We know it's tribulation period. And God is going to deal with Israel as a nation. You and I are already gone. Now, what I want you to see is the rest that what we talk about tonight has happened or will be happening because you and I came to a place to take a body change, a resurrection, and a rapture. So we're completely out of the way when this happens. But that sixth seal has to come real to you to change you. That's the change seal. I want you to get that in your mind. That sixth seal, somewhere inside that seal, somewhere that thunder is going to ring out that I have been changed. My total nature has been changed to where, hey man, listen, when we walk into this world, I was telling you this Sunday, we walk into this world, this is a world of death. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian. Just lay it on the table. This is a world of death. Amen? You were born to die. In your flesh. You were born to die. Now what's going to happen though? We're same dimension. But now watch. When Jesus stepped out of the tomb, he had a changed body. It was glorified. Now the world went right on like they were. Actually, you know what they did? They said, nah, Jesus, they took his body out and they throwed it out in the desert, or they buried it, or they eat it.
Yeah.
See all the stories? Same thing's going to happen to us. But when Jesus walked out, what I'm saying is when Jesus walked out, it wasn't that the whole world just collapsed. It kept right on going. Same way with you and I. When we take a body change, the world's going to keep on going. Actually, several years later. But these things are going to happen to cause the tribulation period right after we leave, or even right at the point in time. We all know one thing's for sure. There were several earthquakes at the resurrection. We know one thing's for sure, that California's going to have to sink to cause this thing to get into turmoil. And we can sit here and draw charts and read quotes, and I'm just telling you, you better be ready. If California sinks while we're here, to me, it's done and over with. There's no running back to mom and daddy, and there's no running to Brother Dale, and there's no running to God. It's over. The Gentile doors somewhere in there is going to be shut. Because that's what's going to cause. You and I are, it's kind of a paradox. I was thinking the other day, you and I are holding off the wrath of God. But because we leave, it brings the wrath of God. And there's pre-tribulation happening now, all the way around, everywhere. Because what? Satan still what? He still sees you in your flesh body. See, this is what Satan's got. He's got that one last mark, which is this guy. Even with Jesus, he'd say, if you be the Son of God, do this. Even Satan said it to Almighty God. He was so veiled in human flesh until Satan didn't believe who he was. He knew there was a power inside that man, absolutely. But if you be, he was telling him what the word said. But what did Jesus do? He didn't perform some great miracle. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And that's what you and I are going to come to. Satan, it's already written. We ain't got to write it. It's already written. Right? And that's what's so great is, what we're looking for to get us out of here is already here. It's already in the Word of God. It's already in the prophet's message. It's already here. It's already inside of you. Amen? Because literally, the world changed on the day of Pentecost. You had Jesus standing on earth for 30-something years. He was the only one that was eternal in his soul on the whole face of the earth. And then all of a sudden, when he comes back on the day of Pentecost, in the form of the Holy Ghost, there's 120 eternal people walking on the face of the earth. And then 3,000 the next day or at the same time, the 3,000 became eternal people walking on the face of the earth. What a change, but you know what? It didn't bother a lot of people. 90% of the world just kept right on going. Didn't bother them one bit. Oh yeah, they made their little accusations and all this. They're drunk. They're Pentecost. They're drunk. They eat. Jesus came. We can't find his body. Oh, they eat it. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, they eat the body. So you see, that same thing going to do with us. They're going to make excuses about things. So let's just continue on here. Number two. For we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. And we were talking last Sunday. Your judgment, praise the Lord, is over as far as you will take a body change somewhere.
Yeah.
If you're born again, your body is going to have to go through a change.
Amen.
Whether it be you lay it down into the earth and we bury it into the earth, but the Bible says we bury it in corruption, but we raise it in incorruption. It will not be corrupt twice. Amen. It will not be corrupt twice. You might have to deal with it like you're dealing with it now, but you will never have to deal with it again.
Right.
Now, some of us feel like we get old twice. But you know what? That's just not so. You will not get old twice. your. I hope we see that. I don't make light of people, but we're closer to our eternal 20-year-old person. Even us younger ones, if you get born again, you're right there at that door that you're never going to have to get old.
Right.
Children, don't worry. Do not worry. You think, oh, I'm going to miss so much if I don't get married, have kids, have a car. Where's Josiah? Have a car.
Yeah.
That boy got a car. Yeah, house payment. Boy, what is that? Be happy. You don't have to do that.
Right.
My kids one time, it's Wednesday night, I'm gonna take my towel. My kids one time, they wanted to know, Dad, why in the world do you make all these rules and we got to go by all this in your house? It's your house. This is my castle. That's what I told them. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what. You can do it. You can be the leader. You can be the king. You can be the, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But there's a few things you got to do that I do. You got to go to work, 8 to 5, Monday through whenever. And when you bring the money in, you got to give part of it to me. Because I'm going to go, Josh, there's my son back there. Josh, you need to make the house payment this month. What? Huh? Oh, wait a minute. The power bill's due. Oh, my cell phone bill's due. Oh, my car needs 4 tires. Oh, I need something to eat. I got some new shoes. I said, if you can provide all that, you the daddy. You can tell me whatever to do it in this house because it will become yours. But since you don't, my way or the highway. Brother Dick won't mind. He said his kids knew two numbers, 18 and 30. When you get 18, you got 38 days to leave. I don't mind them staying in my house. They know, but you know, I said, but that's the same way that we are. We say, well, our kids, it's all doom and gloom. It's not doom and gloom if you look at it the right way. There's a lot of horrible things, kids, that you are being held away from, that we keep you sheltered, that you're going to realize maybe one day, if time does continue on, you're going to go, whoa, I don't know if I want to do this or not. So you understand what I'm saying? Teach your kids that even though we may be heading toward a persecution, that God is going to take care of us. God's not going to leave us alone. They're not going to leave a bunch of kids running around and we going in a rapture. I just don't believe God's going to do that. I believe God's going to take our kids. And if they come to the age of accountability, then now that's a different story. They're going to have it for themselves. But then as you teach them and mold them all the way up, teach them to be born again. Teach them the things to do. And just like the Bible says, when they're older. I had to wait till I was older because I had a hard head. But when they're older, they'll come back.
Right.
Just live the life before them. That's all you can do. Amen. But same way with this. When we start talking about persecution and tribulation, children, don't be scared. God is going to take care of you. I promise you. It's thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith the eternal God that created everything you're standing on. He will take care of you. He promised it. If he promised it, you're right. If he promised it, he'll do it.
Right.
So he'll take care of you. Do not worry.
Right.
Do not worry. Worry brings fear. Fear brings torment. Do not do that.
Right.
But as we do speak on these things, please remember, teach your kids, look, God's going to take care of us.
Right.
We're a family. God didn't give you a family not to take care of. He gave you that family to nurture and take care of. Take care of that family. And teach them the ways of the Lord. Teach them that God's going to protect us. Teach them that God's already here to provide our needs. Not that he's coming and not that we're trying to work something up. No, he's in their everyday life. He goes to school with them.
Hey, he goes through puberty with them. God went through puberty. You know that, don't you? Yeah, Jesus went through puberty because he was a boy and he became a man. All right, is everybody okay with that? He was a human. So he understands that, okay? So now let's read, if everybody's okay. The sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word. So whatever that seal opens, it's going to be judgment. But God's already judged you. Now let's be careful with that. Let's don't go all the way over to the other side and say, well, I don't have to do anything. No, these are still things you got to do. Read your Bible, pray, come to church, do the things that you're supposed to do. Because remember, you put God first. Doesn't the Bible say, seek ye first the kingdom of God? And then all these other things will be added to you. All right? So if you're having problems in your life, you know what? When I start having problems in my life, I come to church. Because I wanted to get rid of them problems. I didn't want them no more. Amen. I don't like trouble. I don't like persecution. But that's okay. You got to look at the promise, people. God has got to do what he's already said he's going to do. Amen. So let's read in Isaiah. We read this last Sunday, but Isaiah even tells us about the tribulation. But now listen, let me say one more time. Teach your kids. Get born again. They'll get a body change and they'll leave this place. You don't have to worry about none of this. Sure, we all think we're the only people who's got problems. Right? Your problem's not as bad as mine. Who's judging? How ye for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. You know why God put this in the Word? To judge the people that's going to stay here. Not you. It's not you. That's not you. That's for the people that turn the grace of God down and they're still here. Then God has to tell them what's going to happen. He's a just God, so he even has to tell the devil. He tells the devil what he's going to do. He doesn't hold, listen. Therefore shall all hands be faint and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Because remember, the sixth seal purging, we'll read it in a minute, it's a threefold manner. But the earth has to be purged also. Right. It's the third one. The earth, this literal earth, has to go through a purging. Right. For the stars of heaven and constellation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil. This is going to be a worldwide punishment. It's not just going to happen to the United States at this time. It's going to be worldwide. All right? And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Amen? Now, Brother Brown tells us, in the sixth seal, he says, see there just exactly, Isaiah saw the same thing that Jesus spoke of, that the seventh seal reveals. Who was the seventh seal? Jesus. Jesus is the seventh seal. Everybody okay with that? Jesus is the seventh seal. Because six seals finishes everything. That's why the seventh seal is silent. There's nothing going on. It's all done. Brother Brown talks about it. We'll talk about it later. It's the end. It's the end of the struggling world, the end of all things. It's the end. When the seventh seal came to you and gave you the new birth, that was an end of your old nature. Right, that was the end of the old you. Right. You became a new creation or a new creature in Christ. Amen? Glory. That's the tribulation period, this sixth seal. Yes, he was a prophet and the word of God was made known to him. He's talking about Isaiah. All right, let's go to the remnant just for a second and then we'll get into these. Into this, a few comments here. Let's go to number four. Excuse me. What is a remnant? The piece that's cut, left, some kind of goods, same kind of goods. You understand what he's saying? If you lay out a piece of goods, you've bought your material. Yeah. All right. And if you're going to cut out this piece of paper, that's going to be the one you're keying on this because this is going to make your shirt or whatever it's going to make. But that doesn't exclude the remnant.
It's the same material as this. It's just used different. Right? It's just used different. This is the bride of Jesus Christ. He has cut us out of the cloth. The remnant, the foolish virgin, they're virgins. So they're not drunkards and whoremongers. No, they're trying to live a good life. They're trying to live a Christian life. They're trying to do the best they can. It's just that, like what Brother Brown says, the gospel never was preached totally to them. Or something happened that they couldn't get born again, okay? But it's the same material. We're not going to walk into, listen, if you got an idea, and let me put this we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We're the most special people on the face of the earth beside Jesus himself. He said that. He said that. And we're in the seventh church age, and we're the most important people on the face of the earth to God right now, right? But we are no better than that man walking out on the street. Even Brother Brown told us, he said, no difference in us and a drunk. You got the new birth. He don't. That's the only thing.
Right.
He made a choice. You made a choice. Okay.
Right.
So we're not going to go to the foolish virgin and say, oh, you were just the, you were just the material. No, you won't be there if that's your attitude. Right. But because this remnant is the same cloth. But what about if this can tell this about what they missed?
Right. Exactly.
About the material. Because you and I are going to be the Word made flesh. You and I are already the Word made flesh. But when we get the glorified body and we get over on in the millennium and all these other things, we're not going to just sit around and talk about.
Right.
Right, Gene? You know, 100 things can run through your mind. Talk about, no, we're going to have a godly mind, but we're not going to be zombies. We're not going to just be sitting there.
Right.
No, we're going to be what? Our mind is going to be so expanded that we don't need a Bible. We are the Bible.
Amen.
We can tell people about Abraham. You know what? If we can't remember about Abraham, Luis will go, Abraham, there he is. I'll tell you what happened when I was there. I wonder what Elijah, come here. There's Elijah. Travel like a thought, right? So if you need to talk to somebody, no distance. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is that? That we're so limited now. That's why I'm telling you. That's why I'm trying to wind this into that sixth seal. This sixth seal is just when we walk on this earth with a glorified body, nature has to fall.
Right. Amen.
This nature can't stand it. Brother Branham preached birth pains, and we'll get into that when I come back. This world is in birth pains.
Right.
You've already been birthed.
Right.
You've already had your birth pains. You've already been birthed by the Word of God.
Amen.
It's this earth that when this thing gets birthed, this thing's going to get birthed. Because what happened is Adam fell in this and that fell. The ball called earth, right? It's God's business where he lays the pattern. He cuts it right out. Now, you know why he does that? You got to go back to predestination and foreknowledge. You got to go to foreknowledge. That this part of the material went all the way.
Oh, yeah.
So let's don't forget, and it's not predestination like God said, all right, that's the way it is. Remember, that's Brother Brown said that would be you'd be in a tube and God would just pull you through the tube.
Right.
No, he saw your choice.
Right.
Therefore, he could put the pattern right where he needed to put it.
Exactly right.
See, predestination by foreknowledge, you can never go wrong. You just keep it as predestination. That's why Brother Brown would always say, he said it's not a good word to use in the crowd. Why? He didn't have time to explain that it's by foreknowledge. But thank God he did pick some sermons that he explained it. But he really didn't have to. Ephesians says foreknowledge of God. Those who he foreknew he did predestinate. The Bible's always said that. It just took a prophet to bring it and put it in pieces for us. Put it together for us. Take the pieces and put it together. So the rest of this is calico. It's just as good as calico's address. But it's God's election. God elects his church. God predestinates his church. God foreordained that. Foreknowledge. Ordained his church. And he takes that church out. So what's he doing? He's cutting it out. He's going to take the church or the bride.
Yeah.
He means that the bride. And the remnants left to go through the tribulation. Why? They weren't part of the original bride. The bride shirt or the bride, whatever you want to call it. let's say, the bride dress. But the remnant's going to go through the tribulation period to be purged. Their persecution is going to continue on. Ours will stop.
Exactly.
I promise you. The Bible, it'll stop.
Right.
But theirs will continue on into the tribulation period. And then when they pass away, they're going to stay dead 1,000 years. So their purging is going to continue while we're in the millennium and we're walking on the earth and we're having a good time with 144,000 and the fifth sealed Jew and what more, they're still going to be dead. They're going to be in a dimension somewhere, and they're going to have to wait until the second resurrection.
Right. Yeah.
They'll come up at that white throne. I read it to you last Sunday, where they will be judged for what? Their works.
Right.
Right. I don't want to be judged. I don't ever want to stand before God with any work that I do.
Right.
You said, oh, you got a gold star. You've been in church ever since you was a kid. That don't mean one thing to God.
Right.
That don't mean nothing to God.
Right.
So I'll take what his work said. I'll hide myself behind his word.
Yeah.
And then if Brother Brown said it, said if God had to judge Jesus, then he's got to judge me. And if there's no judgment in Jesus, he took all the judgment, then there's none in me.
Right.
So that's red through red is what. Yeah. And that's what I'll take. I'll take that every time. And that's where many Bible scholars get mixed up thinking the bride goes through the tribulation. Because remember, you just keep going through, you can see that This brother here had the bride in heaven, the dragon spurting water to make war with the bride, and the 144,000, which is the bride, stand on Mount Sinai. This is another brother talking, not Brother Branham. No, you got it all mixed up. The bride was in heaven. So see, he took us out of the way. God takes us out of the way, and there's no tribulation for us, but the remnant has to go. Not her, not the pattern. The remnant was there. The persecution, the Roman Empire. Like they said the other day, don't worry about communism and all them other isms, except Romanism. Catholicism will consolidate and they'll unite their power together with the great church.
Right.
And they're doing it now. You see them getting closer and closer and closer and closer. All right, let's read number 5. Now we find out in this sixth seal now being opened, it was for a threefold purpose. Now, here was the purposes. The first thing was that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification.
Right.
We went through that. Amen? Everybody all right with that? The foolish virgin has to go through the tribulation for a purging or a purification. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message.
Right.
This she was done in the tribulation period. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7, between 6 and 7 chapter, that she had been purged and she had been given her robes. All right, now, she's not the bride, but it's the church, the pure people that didn't have the opportunity maybe to receive the message or in some way that they were blinded by these false prophets. We see that happening now. And they didn't get a chance, and yet they're really sincere in heart. Because remember, God knows your heart. Like I said about the 144,000, it's not going to be just 144,000 of anybody they just pick and choose.
No,
it's going to be the ones that God knows their heart.
Right.
All right? Yet they're sincere in heart, and God knows their heart. And here they're purged during this time. So that's the first purging of the foolish virgin. Another purging is what? Israel has got to be gathered together. That's the second fold. God purges Israel in the tribulation period.
Right.
Out of the millions that will gather there, there'll be a select 144,000 and they will be purged also. Remember, they gotta die. They'll be persecuted.
Right.
They're gonna be persecuted by their own people.
Right.
Now there is a whole earth to be purged. This is number 3. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged.
Right.
You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. Because remember, the millennium's coming. And see, everything's got, this filth's got to be purged during the sixth seal. Because remember, even in your denominational teaching, they teach that the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. So we're just all going to go to heaven, wherever kind of place that is. And the earth's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Listen to them. But they're reading the Bible. But thank God it took a prophet to just go right back in the dictionary.
Right.
Heaven and earth will pass away, and pass away's got that big A-N-O, whatever, ever word, and it means just to be changed.
Right.
So heaven and earth will be changed.
Glory.
Earth's not gonna be, your earth's not gonna be destroyed. See, that's where they go back to the old and most people in the message, that this body can't be redeemed, so God's just going to get rid of it and bring us a new one up. That's really too easy. There wouldn't be any persecution in that. There wouldn't be any purging in that. No, God's going to take that filthy thing you've been walking in all your life, and he's going to change it, just like his body was changed. When he walked on the earth, it wasn't filthy, but yet it was in sin, in the world of sin. Jesus' body wasn't sinful. But still, he had to eat. He had to do all the things of a human being. He had thoughts. Because remember, his body was made eternal. That's where you get your inheritance of an eternal body. It's because Jesus' body had to be made eternal. Remember, I read you the quote. Brother Brown said the inheritance he inherited.
Right.
He inherited. When he walked out of that tomb, he inherited eternal life in his body.
That's right.
Same way with me and you. When we take a body change, you will inherit eternal life in your body.
Glory.
It's already been done. The first fruits is already up.
Amen.
So now the field can do just like the first fruit. That's what that first fruit was, remember? The first fruit was, as you went and looked in the field, and the one that was that matured first had his head stuck up a little bit higher. Maybe the apples were bigger, or what more you want to say. The priest would go out, and what he would do, he would cut that out, bring it back, and wave it over the field. Not just that this is the only thing. It's an example that the rest of the field is going to come to maturity, and they're going to harvest it just like they did that wave when Christ was on Calvary. He was the priest. He was the first fruit. He was the first one up out of the ground that took a glorified body. I don't care what anybody else says. He's the only one that's reached immortality. The Bible says. And immortality means you were once immortal and now you're immortal.
Right.
There's only one person done that. You say, what about Enoch?
Amen.
I'm not worried about that. Jesus is the one I'm worried about.
Right.
If he can do it, I can do it. Because
right.
He said he was going to do it through me and you.
Glory.
So this being the chain seal, let's look at this just for a minute. I wrote these notes and then we'll get back to our quotes. If this is the seal that changes everything, remember, the flood changed the world 4,000 years ago. Didn't destroy it. But what happened as soon as Noah came out of the ark? Started sinning again. Right? So it just started the cycle all over again. Jesus come on earth. He came through a womb that nothing had ever happened like that before. Never know a man. No, never know a man. That's never happened before.
Right.
Well, when he stepped on the world, into the world, look what happened. There was a change that begun.
Right.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
I'm the door. Come by me. I'm the one.
Right.
I'm the one. Not me, but Christ. He kept trying to tell him who he was.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the light of the world. I've come to give this place a change. But what did they do? Isn't that Joseph's boy? Don't he make benches and baseball bats and, well, he's some kind of carpenter? What is he? He works with his old daddy. His daddy's old, you know, you see what I mean? Because it was common to them. Like a lot of people are going to say, it's common to us. Well, how in the world can you? Don't worry about how in the world can you. Your change is going to come from right here.
Right.
Inside. So Jesus changed the world. Total disruption of nature, because nature says every seed has to bring forth of its kind and it takes a male and a female.
Right.
See where I'm going with this? Takes a male and a female. Christ comes and it doesn't take a male and a female. Like we say male and female. That changed the world. Saying that you can be born the right way.
Right.
Not through mom and daddy, but that you can be born again.
Right.
And you can come the same way he came.
Right.
So he changed the world. On the day of Pentecost. Wow. There came from heaven a sound of a rushing. It wasn't just a... That ain't the way God broke into this dimension. I believe it whirled that whole building, and if it don't matter if they could hear it outside, they knew what was going on inside. It changed the world, because now there was 120 people that were born in sin, that were born by mama and daddy, were now standing in an upper room shouting and praising God and starting a new world order. We always talk about, oh, the world, they got this new, Bushy's got this new world. No, the day of Pentecost started a new world order. Oh, it didn't change the world back up, and it didn't just do away with the devil, but it started a process. There was a nature change. 120 natures were killed, and the nature of God was put in. That had never happened. Never happened. Didn't happen with Jesus, because he wasn't born like they were. This is people that were born from sex of mom and daddy, the wrong, you know what I'm saying, not the right way. It was the right way to come that way now, but it wasn't God's provided first way. It was supposed to be spoken word, so that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. There came a sound from a rushing mighty wind, and God birthed 120 children into the body of Christ, never touched them with male instrumentality. You understand what I'm saying? He touched them with the word of God. And that started a new world order. That started 2,000 years of a difference. 2,000 years of a church, of church ages, of seven church ages. It brought you and I to a place, because that had to change the world so that the Son of Man, listen to what I'm saying, so the Son of Man could come back in the end time and not just change the soul, but change your body.
Amen.
Had to happen that way.
Right.
And there's a new world order that begun.
Right.
When the prophet came on the scene and it thundered. And the thunder was not that William Branham was God.
Right.
He was a prophet.
Amen.
But he said, I'm bringing Christ to you.
Right.
And Christ will change your body.
Right.
A new world order.
Right.
Forget about that world out there.
Right. Yeah.
It's all rotten.
Yeah.
And then there's 200,000 demons. They reside pretty close to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But they're put there to change you. Because you're not going to change yourself. Everybody do this. You're not going to change by yourself. That's why God has a provided way to do this. He gave us the total. He gave us the whole prescription. And then he released 200,000 demons on Israel to drive them back to the homeland. Now he took them same 200,000 demons and he put them on the bride. He let them go on us. To do what, Brother Brown said? Drive us back to the Word. Our homeland. Well, see, my homeland is not just the Word of God. My homeland is that the Word of God is going to change this thing right here. Because that's what the Word said it would do. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those which are asleep. For we shall all be changed. But your change started the day God killed that old nature. He started a new world order. Because I'm going to tell you something. If we'll realize that, we'll realize that we're way further than we think we are.
Right.
When we notice that new world order, listen, did it not change your world when you got born again?
Right.
Please, people, good grief, you go, like I said before, and Luis don't mind me using it because me and him same way. I didn't have a problem going to the beer store, grabbing the Miller Lite, Bud Light, and putting it on my cart. I had no reservation. Why? Because my old nature was taking over.
Right?
My old nature was prevalent. It was right there. And it didn't bother me one bit to roll up there, you know, and put it here and take my good hard-earned cash out and pay for that thing, you know, because I'd going home. And I really didn't ever do that. June can tell you, I never did stuff. She's going, what are you doing? Well, I did a lot of other things. You did too, the same way. There was no reservation. Why? Because that old nature just continued. It just kept pushing you. But now with a new nature, it changed my whole world.
Right.
I don't have the things in my house I used to have.
Right.
Do you?
Right.
And you know, whatever, list it wherever you want to list it. I don't have the girly magazines. I don't have the this. I don't have the that. You put whatever you got on there, you make a list. Why? Because I had a nature change. Right. It disrupted my world. Right. Thank God. Amen. Only God can change your nature to the right way. That's why if we could save our kids, we would. But you can't. Because one nature can't change another nature. God's got to change your nature. So those 200,000 demons were released on us to drive us to our homeland. And my homeland, like I said, is not just, I'm not satisfied. Listen, the word's been here forever and ever, and it's forever going to be here. But there's never been a group of people take a body change that's not died first. A group, I said. If you want to, well, you say, everybody's going, what about Enoch? Can I be blunt? I don't care. Because I can't explain it. If Brother Branham would have explained it, if the Bible would have explained it, no, Enoch took a translation. So Enoch is somewhere else. But he's not bride. I'm worried about bride. Whatever changed his nature or whatever, that's fine with me. That has nothing to do with us. It's an example, sure. But don't try to figure it out. You know what? Brother Brown never really answered it. He said, I don't know. You know why? Because it didn't matter. You and I are going to be the only people ever since Adam to be born by a mama and a daddy, raised up by the devil. That devil be tore out of your house. God walked in your house. And now he's going to walk in this. That's never happened before. Even with Jesus, because he was not born of sex. You and I, this is the nastiest of nasty. This is nasty. But God's going to take out of that nasty. Same way with this world. Look at this world, man. Look at all the things. Look. Could you imagine? We look at things and we look at things on the surface. But can you imagine all, you think, well, the earthquake's going to be bad in California. But I read an article somebody wrote about what if that happened in California, what would happen afterwards? You talk about, you know, 30 million people dying instantly because they're drowned. No, that ain't going to, there's going to be another 20 million, I think, or 10 or 20 million people that's going to die of horrible diseases because all your gas lines are going to break. All your sewer lines are going to break. There's going to be no water. You understand? So the peripheral is what's going to kill more than that. But see, that nasty, that's nasty. But that's what I was. I was that nasty. But God took me out of it. God reached down and plucked me out of this world. Oh yeah, we live in this world, but God plucked me out of this world. He plucked you out of this world. Give him a hand clap of praise. Thank God. And now, listen, nature now will literally explode when our body changes. Literally, this earth cannot handle God walking on 2 feet in a bride that was so nasty. Satan hates that worse than anything. So this whole world is going to explode because of you. Because God exploded this world first. Right. Amen. So persecution, that's okay. May not like it when it comes, but bring it on. Because the bride's always done better under persecution. Let's read 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, this is Paul, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. What about a man that walks up and preaches to a group of people 4 or 5 times and they hate him so much they put him on the stocks and they beat him 39 stripes? Save one, because they say 40 lashes is what will kill you. He carried those with him. And he continued to preach. He didn't just, Sister Jeannie, he didn't say, I think I'm going to get me a ticket and go to another country. No, he stayed right there. Yeah. Why? He had a purpose. Right. persecution, affliction which came upon me unto me at Antioch, at Iconia, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Amen. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
Matthew 13, verse 20. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word. Now remember, this is the sower, parable of the sower of the seed.
Yeah.
And watch what happens if you're not rooted and grounded. But he that received the seed in the stormy places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. How many times have you done that? Brother Dale's always told us, you know, you see people come in that's, you know, right on the front row, and you can't contain them, and 6 months later they're gone.
Right.
I always think of this scripture right here.
Right.
With joy they heard it. But he that received the seed, because it was seed, they received the message.
Right.
It just didn't go deep enough.
Because
right. Watch. In the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy, in other words, brought it on, heaped it on with joy, received it, yet hath he not root in himself, but he endureth for a while.
Right.
For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word,
right.
Not because somebody don't like what you drive or don't like what you eat,
right.
It's the word.
Right.
Because of the word, by and by, he is offended. In other words, they leave.
Right. Right.
Wow. Deuteronomy 4:31 says, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. Now this is God talking to Israel. But he also jumped up. He said, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. He's not going to forget Israel. I told you, he's not going to. How can a, God told him, said, how can a woman that's had a baby forget the baby?
Yeah.
So how can I forget Israel, God said.
Right.
He's not going to forget Israel. Sure, he's going to let them go through some persecution because of what they did.
Yeah.
He's going to let us go through persecution for the things we do.
Yeah.
But he will not forsake you or destroy you.
Right.
Matthew 24, verse 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as were not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor even shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved.
Right.
But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Right.
Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. I preached on this a long time ago. Because that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to say, hey, I can do the signs and wonders. Right? Follow me. No. You know why you won't get caught up in that? Because Christ is in you. And once you realize he's in you, all that other goes away. But if you don't realize he's in you, you will get caught up with that. Don't think maybe I won't. No. Brother Branham said, he said, mark of the beast or the mark of God. One of the two, there's not an in-between. If you're not born again, you will take the mark of the beast.
Right.
That's why the foolish virgin has to go through persecution, because they accept that.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Right.
Excuse me. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Thank God.
Yeah.
Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Right.
Brother Branham said, but the elect cannot be deceived.
Amen.
Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Why do I need to go in the desert? He's right here. He's out there at that other place.
Yeah.
No, he's right here. If you know he's right here, then you ain't got to go to that other place.
Amen.
Amen? Behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber. Believe it not.
Yeah.
For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Because look, you look up in the air and you go, Well, where'd that come from? You don't know where that lightning came from. It could have come across this way and went that way and banged off of this and down here and over this way. That's the same way with the Son of Man. Right. But you and I don't know, because you and I will be that.
Exactly right.
I have no problem knowing where the Son of Man is.
Right.
He's the Word made flesh in you.
Right.
That's enough for me. I ain't got to go find him nowhere else. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So where the carcass is, where the Word is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So don't worry about anything, little bride. God's going to take care of it all. Number six. And I'm sorry, really, to have held you like this. So am I. But to just get a tape of this now, the Lord willing, this is what I'm speaking out of Phoenix Sunday afternoon. Then Monday I'm going a little short meeting and so forth. Purpose in my heart this year, if the Lord willing, I'd cut and tore from side to side. See, he has problems too. And we all know that's the identification. We know what the third pull is. Now, this is Shalom 1964. Now, what's what he said? Everybody's wanting to know what the third pull is. We know what the third pull is. We know what it is. It's the opening of the Word.
Yeah.
It's not a great this, that, or the... It's the opening of the Word.
Right.
Here's what he just said.
Right.
It's the opening of the Word. Why? And I think... Now, this is your prophet saying this, not me. Now, you'll have the tape, so everybody listening to the tape, they'll hear this. And I think that it'll just lay dormant for a little while.
Yeah.
What? The third pull.
Yeah.
Until the great hour of persecution comes on.
Right.
That's when it'll speak.
Right.
It'll be manifested just like the five straight signs without failure perfectly. That's what your prophet said. It's laying dormant now. What he just said. Read it again.
Yeah.
And I think it'll just lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution comes on. We have not had that great hour of persecution yet.
Exactly.
But when we do, what happened under the third pull of his ministry? There were things spoken into existence.
Yeah.
There was a nature of two boys changed.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
There was a nature of two boys changed under that third pull.
Right.
A man stood and changed nature. On the mountain. Big storm coming in. Feet of snow coming in. All these different things. Speaks it away.
Right.
That's an interruption of nature.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Then you got squirrels that come from nowhere. And there were the squirrels.
Yeah. Right.
He's saying it's laying dormant. You know why? Because it wasn't for them.
Right.
It's for you and me.
Right.
It's for me and you. That third pull ministry is not for Brother Branham. It was for me and you.
Right.
He used it, showed us it could be done. But I'm read that one more time. I think it'll just lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution comes on. Now, has the great hour of persecution come? No. Why do you need to speak your cabinet full of food when Boyd needs to probably take a lot of his out? No, not sit there and eat it all. Give it away. But not really. To be silly, go open your cabinet. You don't need it. You don't need food. Like Brother Dale always said, why we pray for rain and we've got 10 inches of rain and we've got Friday and Saturday is fixing to rain again. Why do we pray for rain? We don't need to pray for rain. We don't need to pray for food. We need to pray that God will get us in position. Get us in position that when that hour does come, that we can speak. Not call Brother Dale and say, Brother Dale, I need some pork chops. He may not know you need a pork chop. But God knows you need a pork chop. So there they come. There's whatever you need. Now it's not going to be a whole, he's not going to fill your freezer. He's going to give you what you need. Not your wants. He's going to give you your needs. But I believe we're coming to that hour. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking to that place to where that God can speak through you. And things will happen. We've already seen parts of that. We've already seen things materialize because of the speech. Of the Word. Amen? Let's go to number 7 real quick. The anointed ones at the end time. Notice. The very day when this messenger Now look, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. Now what's Brother Branham talking about? I have many, many quotes that Brother Branham says, not in the years of preparation, not in the healing campaigns. In other words, not from the 47 to 63 was building up. We don't, listen, you know as well as I do in this church, there's a lot of people that say, well, Brother Branham was wrong, so don't listen to 463. If you don't, you won't have a clue what he's saying unless you read 47 to 63. You're lost if you think that. You know why? You've lost the word. He preached the word from 47 till the day he passed. He preached the word of God. I depend on that. But not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare. Remember, his message, the declaration of his message was in these seals. That's what he was commissioned to bring, was the opening of these seals. See, first pull, healing. Second pull, prophecy. He didn't just take them by the hand anymore. He told them the secrets of their heart. He didn't tell them. God told them. But he yielded himself so much to God that the gift worked the way it was supposed to. Right? But now third pull, the opening of the word. The mysteries revealed. No more, there is no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the world, in the word. Do you see it? The congregation says amen. I'm reading what he said. The third pull is the opening of the seals. So are the seals open?
Amen.
The seals are open. They may not be to you, and you can sit there ignorantly and say that they're not open, but they're not open to you because they're open to me. This is an open, we preach out of an open book.
Amen.
So the third pull is in that opening of the seven seals. The voice of God, the thunder, the opening of the word that's never been seen before. When Brother Brown whipped that, top off of that pyramid, he said light had never, it wasn't that the word wasn't there.
Right.
The word's always been in the Bible.
Right.
But nobody had looked there, it was not light had shone on that, what was in that pyramid.
Right.
But when he whipped that top off, I believe that's when the seals were open. Because
right.
There was a lid on it and he popped that lid off.
Right.
And he told us what God had said in the love letter that God had already wrote. It's already been there. It was just a love letter, the between the lines that me and you got. Amen? So there it is. The third pull was the opening of those seven seals. So what's going to change our body? The third pull, the opening of the seals. That's what's going to change our body. If not, then as Brother Dale's always said, and I agree 100%, then there's somewhere that somebody, you're going to have to die. Because you can't take all the word. Sorry. Or either that or God forbid you're not born again.
Right.
But one of the two, you're not going to take a body change and be a baby.
Right.
Standing on earth.
Right.
Now you may have to die the death and go by the grave and you may have to come up. So what?
Right.
Let's go back to that point. I ain't got to worry about taxes. I ain't got to worry about phone bill, car payment.
Right.
Well, I don't have a car payment. But anyway, house payment and all that other stuff. But the third pull was the opening of the seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. That's pretty plain.
Right.
So now let's read this real quick. I want to read a few of these and we'll be done. Number one, it's in the back of you. It's one of these that Brother Joe so graciously put all these together. These are just four of them. He gave me a whole bunch, but I just picked out these. Now look, notice, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Her wine is what she was giving out, her stimulation. We are the church. We're the one that's got it. See, now just draw that in your mind now, all right? See, carried like the angel told John, I'll show you this judgment that's coming to this great church. Now watch. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast. Scarlet in the Bible represents royal. The color scarlet means red. The beast represents power. Did you notice the beast come up out of the sea that was in Revelation 13? Now that goes back to the United States, right? Revelation 13 is America because with 13 stripes, 13 colonies. And when you see the beast come up out of the sea, it meant that this power was raising up among the people. But in Revelation 13, when this lamb came up, he come up out of the earth. No people. United States. But then after he had two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical power. And then he received power and spoke like the dragon did before him. So you just got to mark it down. We are coming into a religious. Now listen, folks, we ain't got to wait. The religious persecution is happening right now. Right now is a religious persecution. That's where our persecution comes from. The drunk doesn't care how much words you know. He might need to hear about Jesus Christ, but he don't care about the words you know. I'll read you one in just a minute. I hope I still got it. It's back there in the back, or I've got it on here one. Where Brother Branham says, in other words, basically he's saying, they'll get mad at you because you got it and they don't. I mean, you come to my house. I'm just saying this for an example. Oh, wait a minute. Go to Sister Anna's house. She's sitting there eating, I don't know why, pork chops. Jim, we ain't had pork chops in a long time. We need pork chops. Pork chops. She's sitting there eating pork chops, and I ain't got enough strength to get up the steps, and I've been crying out to God or whoever to bring me food, and I got no food, but she's sitting there going, man, this pork chop just fell right out of the ceiling. God was so good, he just materialized it, and I'm sitting here eating it. Now, in my humanity, if I ain't born again, I'm going to get mad. I'm going after that pork chop. Luis, we're going after that pork chop. We're going to get the pork chop. But that's religious persecution. And it's happening now because look at them. They cut you off because of the things you preach or the things you don't preach. There's always been religious persecution. With the same thing, we are coming into a religious persecution with the same thing that they did in pagan Rome many years ago, for it's thus saith the Lord. Now, what is it? Setting upon a beast of power. Number two, spoken word's original seed. Now, what they're trying to do, they're trying to manufacture a latter rain. Nonsense. Why? The latter rain will sweep the world, brother. Been a former rain sowing words. Brother Branham sowed the former rain. Now we'll see that what the latter rain produces. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at that being made real right now. That's right. Now you'll see what the latter rain produces. You'll find out there'll be an affliction. The Pentecostals and all the groups will come together, and they'll shut the doors on them guys that won't listen to it.
Right.
They won't even be allowed to open your mouth. Right. You won't even be allowed to open your mouth, right? That's when he'll come.
Right.
Who? He Christ.
Right.
That's when he Christ. That's when that third pull, you see that third pull lays dormant, but now it's coming into being.
Right.
That's how he'll show. That's when you'll see a rain.
Right.
Oh my, lay still, be quiet, let it go.
Yeah.
Just be calm as you can be. Because you can't manufacture it. Number three. Spoken words original seed, paragraph 443. Remember, there'll be such a denominational gathering pretty soon, it'll be terrific. And they will bring themselves together into this federation of churches. And when this kind of church will be, then this kind of church will be put out of operation as far as they know. Thank you, Brother Branham. I appreciate you putting that in there. As far as they know. It's at that time that Jesus will appear. And he will show which is bride. This is it right here. And he will show which is bride and which is not. Remember, Brother Brown said there was all kind of showdowns. But there's one coming here. A Mount Transfiguration showdown. Because you're going to come to that Mount Transfiguration and you're either going to be transfigured or you're lost. All right? And he will show which is bride and which is not. And remember, Christian friends, I'm a man. I can make mistakes. But God being God cannot make a mistake. All the words that's been written must be fulfilled. Jesus said so. So we got things here in the scripture that must be fulfilled. And that's one of these things, this boycott to come. But before this boycott can come of the marking of the beast, there has to be a seed sowed. That's right now. Packing it in, sowing the seed for God to take a church out of it. You understand now, congregation says amen. A seed has to be sowed, a denominational seed, and there to make a form or an image to the beast, the church of Rome. There has to be a true bride, and we understand that the so-called bride is rejected. Yeah. Everybody all right with that? Say amen. All right, now number four, last thing. Sardesian church age. Musicians, you can get ready to come on. You know we are living in the end time. It's in this age that the churches are going to come together. And as they're even now controlling world politics, they will soon control the finances of the world. We see that happening now. All right. And then if you don't belong to the World Organization of Churches, you won't be able to buy or sell. You will lose all. These who stay true to God and keep their garments clean from the defilement of this world system of church orders will be physically bereft. Now that word bereft means that you're going to do without something that you previously had. All right. There will be presented to them a great temptation to give in. Preachers will give in. It's got to be false. It's got to be the false shepherd. True bride can't do that. Preachers will give in with the excuse that they will serve God within the framework of the Antichrist system. Please. They will give in to the flatteries and blandishments of the hierarchy. And the people will follow these false shepherds right into the slaughter.
Right.
But in the judgment, they will all be found naked. Right. They will not be given those white robes, neither will they walk with him. You can't walk in the spotted garments of the world, holding hands with the devil here, and then expect to be with God. It's time to wake up, spoken word church, and hear the voice of God crying, come out of her, my people. That ye be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. Amen? God is speaking. Shun the religions of the world like you shun the plague. Leave off walking with the world and make your garments white by repentance and the blood of the Lamb. But do it now, for tomorrow may be too late. Let's stand to our feet. All that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
And don't get me wrong. We all enjoy the air conditioning and the heating and the plumbing and getting in our... You know what? I would not want to take one of them little catamaran boats from here to the Philippines. I'll be glad when I get on that bird tomorrow and they fly me to Seattle for 5 hours and then they fly me about 14 hours to Seoul, South Korea and then about 3 hours to Manila and I'll be standing in the Philippines. Hopefully be rested a little bit, but you understand what I'm saying. So a lot of people take it to one extreme like these preppers and all. And you know, some people are trying their best to not have this and not have that. There's a balance. There's always a balance. There's a balance to the Word of God. You know, you can do that. If you want to do away with your electricity, I'm sure they'll cut it off for you.
Yeah.
If you want to do it without your gas, don't go to Walmart either, because that's the Antichrist.
Right.
No, live your life the best you can.
Right.
Let God lead you and guide you in what to do. If you feel a tug to not go that way, don't go that way.
Right.
If you feel a tug to go that way, go that way.
Right.
Amen? You love the Lord?
Amen.
God bless your heart. Let's sing a song. What are we singing?
This world is not my home.
Absolutely. What's the number?
381
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have a friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago. I know he'll see me through.
Thank you.
me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in the world anymore. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
That we're going somewhere and that we're going to stay there. No, this is our home. This ball that we're living on is ours. It was Adam's to begin with. God gave it to Adam. And Adam forfeited the title. But thank God the second Adam had the title. He came down here with it, claimed it all, and then he didn't keep it on the day of Pentecost. He handed it back to the believers.
Right.
And then now you and I have it again.
Amen.
The title deed is inside of you.
Right.
You own this earth.
Amen.
Doesn't matter about all these people who've got all these billions and billions of dollars.
Right.
Catholic can have all the gold they want.
Amen.
We just going to melt it. God's going to melt it down and we're going to walk on it.
Lord.
Right. Amen.
They're going to have it melt.
Remember the old joke about the guy coming up with the big thing of a suitcase full of gold, and they opened it up and St. Peter's looked down and said, "You brought pavement."
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's pavement over there. You don't need, I mean, God's going to use it, but we don't need that. The gold you have is what's inside of you. Pray for me. This next coming couple of weeks, and that the Lord will do. I'm working towards something to try to bring the people a little closer to God.
Amen.
I ain't gonna bring them something new. There's nothing new.
Right.
But I just want to stir up them,
Lord,
and let the Lord stir them up real good, and then I'll come back home to you guys, and hopefully we can stir y'all up some.
Lord, amen.
And I believe that it's coming close, but we got to have some maturity.
Right.
We got to have some maturity in our lives and maturity in the Word. And the only way to do it is to study and read your Bible. Pray.
Right.
That's right.
Talk to God. Yeah, it's just pretty simple.
Right.
But before we leave, if we have the everybody, we're not going to just come up here, but let's everybody pray over me if you don't mind.
Right.
And pray that I'll have a safe trip.
Amen.
I've got prayer cloths in my pocket from the last one, but I'm going to take some here.
Right. Lord.
And before you go home, if you don't mind, come up here and we're going to do it in threes. And y'all just come up here and touch these, and I'm going to take them with me. Because I'm going to see Brother Vernon. I'm going to see Brother Danny and Brother Roel.
Amen.
So those three, we're going to take them and pray that God will anoint us to do our job. Our job is to take the message to a dying world.
Amen.
And also to take the ones that's alive in Christ and bring them up a little bit too.
Amen.
So we're going to visit Brother Royal just sent me a message. We're going to, what's the name of that tribe? Christine? Aetna? Just what she said. But they're original Filipinos. They're little short original. They're not hybrids. They're the original Filipinos. But we're going up in the mountains, and Brother Royal said there's about 500 of them going to be at a meeting Monday night. So you just pray that the Lord will lead us to not be an outsider. I don't like being an outsider. I like to have friends, you know, and them become our friends, and then we can maybe share with them the word of the Lord. So let's all pray before we dismiss. And if you don't mind, before you leave, come up here and just touch the prayer cloth, and I'll take them with me. Because I'm going for you. I'm not going for me. I'm taking you. You're going with me. So thank you again for all the prayers and support, and also for the financial support.
that the church gives each one of you. This give, we pray to God that it'll be tenfold expounded.
Amen.
And that it'll do the work that it's supposed to do. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. We pray, Lord, that you would just be with us in our endeavors to go to the Philippines. And like I said, not go over there as an outsider, but go over there as a friend and a brother. Someone that wants to help the people, Lord, all the way from the children up to the older ones, Lord. We pray that what we do will be pleasing to you, Lord, that we will not hurt anyone, Lord, intentionally, that we'll respect the island of the Philippines and the Filipino people because they're just as much yours as we are. There's a bride over there, Lord, that longs to hear from you. And we pray, Lord, that you would just be with us as we continue through the islands and speak your word, Father, that it would be you doing the speaking, Lord. We pray now, too, Lord, that there'll be long plane flights tomorrow and into Friday, Lord, and then we get there, then we're going to leave again for Palau, and there'll be a flight over there and back, and then coming back home, Lord, we pray that you would, there'd be no delays. We pray there'd be no storms, that everything will be, all the connecting flights, and Lord, that our luggage, because we know the devil somewhere in there wants to make it all bad, but Lord, we know that you're in control. Just make sure everything gets there on time, Lord, that we have a good time in you. Bless the people here, Lord, the ones that give, the ones that's praying, Lord, the ones that are here that are going to wake up in the morning and just say a little prayer that our day will go well. And Lord, I pray that you would give them a special blessing here in this church, Lord, as they're just cream of the crop. Best in the world, what I consider. I pray that you'd be with us now. Take care of us. Lead us, guide us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we take these prayer cloths. Lord, we put them in our pocket, Lord, that it'll accomplish what it said it would accomplish. And that would be something for you, Lord, to bring your people closer to you, Father. Bless us in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
There are.